Okay, good morning, Rabbi. So let's begin. We are in the middle of Mizmor Yud Ches. Okay, we're up to Pasuk. We did the 10 words of the Pasuk Dali. Okay, we started Pasuk Dali. We'll start from there, even though we really did it last week. Okay, we had some really nice stuff in Pasuk Gimel, the 10 different words of Shira, connected to 10 enemies of David. And now we're going to proceed with Pasuk Dalet. Let me just bring up my notes over here. Page 140. Okay, here are my notes. Page 140. Okay. Let's take a look over here at okay, let's see here. Pasuk Dal Mehulal Ekra Hashem Mehulal. You have to read the words backwards. Mehulal Ekra Hashem. I call out Hashem with praise. With praise do I call out to Hashem, and thus Umin Oivai from my enemies Yivashea, I am saved and spared from my enemies. Let's see the Nisi Vestavit. Pasuk Dalit, page 140. Short words, Kishani Koire La Hashem Behalel, Oz Ani Noisha Me Oivai. When I call out to Hashem with words of praise, then I am saved from my enemies. Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, Mehulal Ekra Hashem, Behilulim Ekra the Esvalel Lefanav Tamid. With Hilulim praises, do I call out and do I pray to Hashem? Kiloimar, Af Lefne Hatishua, Ani Mehaleloi. I praise Hashem before the salvation. Why? Lefisha batuach ani shemeoivai ivoshe. This is an explosive statement. But Rashi here says, now this we have to understand this statement in contrast to something called tfilo lefnei hatzara. The Gemara says, le'oilam, a person always daven to Hashem before a tzara happens so that the tzara should not happen. We all know that in our own health, if a person takes care of his health and does not get sick, it's infinitely more potent than Rachmana Litzlan when a person gets sick and then needs a refuah shalema. Okay? Preventive medicine. Okay, if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is sick, it's not so easy to extract oneself from a matzah of illness. But if a person is healthy, and he takes medicine, he takes vitamin, whatever, it, each person according to what he needs, whatever that professional tells him to do, or just in general, a person shouldn't smoke. If you don't smoke, so you're not going to have the issues that come with smoking. A person watches his weight, he doesn't have all of the issues that come with being overweight. What do we learn this from? Now, the same way that it's true when it comes to our physical health, and when it comes to financial planning, and it comes to all other matters of this world, it is true with regard to prayer, to spiritual matters, for example, where do we learn this from? We learn this from Avraham Avinu in Parashas Lech Lecha. It says, when Avraham Avinu traveled to Eretz Yisrael, he came to Ai. He traveled by Ai. Rabbi Mayevsky will tell us the exact pasuk. Baruch Hashem, he came in the moment. What does it say about Ai in Parashas Lech Lecha? Ai Mikedem. So Rashi, he understands. Vayivin Shom Mizbeach, Vayuka B'Shem Hashem. Something like that, right? Vayivin Shom Mizbeach, Vayuka B'Shem Hashem. He built a Mizbeach. Rashi, what is he doing? Avraham Avinu, Hashem tells him to go, Lech Lecham, He'aretzchan, he's traveling, and he passed by Ai, and all of a sudden he stops over there in that region and he begins to pray. He makes the Mizbeach and he davens. What? What's going on over here? So Rashi here says, Avraham Avinu, he saw Piruach HaKodesh. The day will come when the Jewish people will come into Eretz Yisrael, they will conquer Yericho, and then they will go proceed to phase two, battle number two, the battle of Ai, and they will be defeated. They will be defeated. Chazal said, how many people died in this battle? 36 people died. This was the second battle the Jewish people experienced in their entry to Eretz Yisrael. Second battle. First battle was Yericho. It was a miracle. The walls sunk into the ground. They conquered the entire city, and they donated all of the spoils of war to Hashem. And then he went, proceeded to battle number two. They were on a high. And they were defeated. And they lost the battle. They came back. They retreated. They had nothing to show for themselves. Worse, 36 people died. And Klal Yisrael, we value life very much. Unlike the Umay Sa'olam, when they plan wars, 1,000 people will die here. The Battle of the Bulge. How many people died in the battle? Anyone know how many people died in the Battle of the Bulge? You know how many people died? It's not even to be believed. Normandy, what went on over there? The Pentagon said, it's worth it. It's worth it. We'll go. You'll send all, everyone will donate some of their children. And we'll put them on a ship. We'll send you across the Atlantic. And you'll land.
D-Day.
Yeah, right. All the many different battles. I don't know how many are going to die. No, we'll make a cheshbon. It's worth it for freedom. It's worth it for our way of life. It's worth the sacrifice. What's the number? So in the Pentagon, they have a number. They make a calculation. They recognize how much pain it will bring to families all across the country. People are going to lose children. They're going to be maimed for life. And they make a calculation. They say, listen, if we don't do this, then the world's going to be destroyed. We're going to suffer. So it costs, is a price to pay for freedom. And they have numbers, they make calculations, what is an acceptable loss, but there will be a loss. There's no question beyond a shadow of it, and that's kachi darko shalolam. Kachi darko shalolam, that's the way the world goes. I've heard my own ears, not in the United States, even when they were rolling out the vaccines, especially for children, not so for the children, and I heard my own ears, one of the very, very big scientists in Europe, I don't remember if it was the United Kingdom, if it was France, if it was, I don't know where which country, and one of the top, and he says, we don't really know, we only have about 3 to 6 months of data, but we have to understand we're fighting a war, people are dying. And even though there are going to be casualties in giving out, you know, medications that have not been proven, and we're going to have to refine it, we're fighting a battle, a war. And in a war, there are casualties. And if we don't do this, then it can be a lot worse down the line. Year down the line, we can all be dead if we don't go and attack. In America, they wouldn't say that. It's too dangerous to say that type of thing. But there's a logic to it. I'm not, you know, there's a logic to it. You can't go say every single person is a conspiracy theorist. There are people out there. They have a belief that if we don't do something, the whole world's going to come to be a terrible, terrible, millions of people can die. And they do things that are experimental, and it's very dangerous. And they openly said, we know it's dangerous, we know people are going to die, but this is a war. And in a war, there are casualties. Unless it's your child, right? That's a whole different story. But in the Pentagon and throughout the world, we're dealing with all different types of situations. There are, but not only acceptable, not risks, acceptable losses, losses.
We all do.
Everyone. You can't.
Cost benefit.
Exactly.
Risk reward. And most everything.
It's not just risk. It's a certainty that's going to be, but it's a price to pay. Okay. So there are numbers. There is one thing that is certain: the numbers, the number game, that is. Evaluated by a religious state, a state that does, there is no such religious state in the world today, but I'm not saying anything bad. Eretz Yisrael is a blessed country, of course. What I'm just saying is that if in a society, a Torah society, that is run by people who are shomrei Torah mitzvahs, the value of the risk analysis, the risk benefit. This analysis is a completely different number relative to the entire world for one simple reason: the value of life. Chaye yofesh sha'achas ba'olam hazeh mikol koyras tzurach shel olam haba. The opportunity in this world to do Torah mitzvos is enormous. That principle is not shared by anyone in the world other than Klal Yisrael. So if in the Pentagon, I mean, if in the world, they would say it's acceptable that 1,000 soldiers will die in this battle in order to save millions, how does Klal Yisrael look at make the numbers? How do they crunch the numbers? I don't know. I have no idea. But l'choira, the numbers are very, the calculation is very, very different. It's an entirely different calculation because Klal Yisrael value life to such an extreme, to such a degree, the loss of one person, it's priceless. The loss of one neshama, it's just not possible to evaluate the value of life. Look, you see people they're giving, you look in Ukraine now where they're, you know, it's very complicated. I have no idea what's going on over there, but there are people there are organizations that are trying to save people who want to get out, people that are shomer Torah mitzvos and not, who want to get out, not everyone wants to get out. They spend incredible amounts of money and an enormous amount of risk and sophistication to get them out. And then how many people got out? So they tell you a few hundred, and you tell this to the goyim, well, a few hundred people, for all this money, for just a few hundred people, all this risk, if you're dealing with tens of thousands, okay, a few hundred people, who cares? It's a whole different scale. The value of even one neshama, they had a story, they had just a child, an infant, they needed an ambulance, he needed medical care, and the ambulance didn't want to come into where the child was located because it was too dangerous, so they met the child halfway, and they had to bring the child, they went to this extreme risk. You tell this to the goyim, they're like, I think you're crazy. Dealing over here, a country, 44 million people, you're worried about a little baby, one little baby, you care about one little baby? Well, yeah, you do. That's right. The Klal Yisrael, they do care about one little baby. The neshama is priceless. When the Battle of Ai, 36 people died. That's what it says in the Pasuk. 36 people. So you'd say 36 people. Population of 3 million. Of 3 million came into Eretz Yisrael. 600,000 men over the age of... Over the age of... 20, 60, 3 million people. No, 24 people in a battle, not so bad, you know. No. It was considered to be the greatest tragedy that happened since the creation of the world. Now, Chazal also tell us that another interpretation, there was really only one person who died. It was Osniel ben Kenaz. And the reason why it says the number 36, because 36 is the majority of 70. And his neshama was so great, it was Shokul Kineged, the majority of the Sanhedrin. The loss of the Osniel ben Kenaz. So what's he doing in battle? When was the last time you saw a Rosh Yeshiva go out and put on fatigues and go on weapons and fight? Well, the people in the Sanhedrin, they went out to fight. And he was Shachal Kenegah, the majority of the Sanhedrin, he died. Chazal say that battle was devastating.
But Yisrael Tussman, he was a partisan fighter.
He was a partisan. He was the head of the Beis Din. He was the youngest member of the most prominent Beis Din in the world, of Chaim Oizer Gruditsky, his Beis Din. He was the youngest member. A fascinating life of Guzman. So in any event, we have here. So it says in Chazal Parshas Lech Lecha, we are introduced to this war in Parshas Lech Lecha. Where Avraham, he builds a mizbeach in this location, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and Rashi on that pasuk tells us, Avraham Avinu, he saw up in Ruach HaKodesh, the battle of Ai, and he was mispalel before the Tzar. That even though they would be defeated, they should survive. And Chazal say, if not for the prayer of Avraham Avinu, there would not have remained even one person. The entire Klal Yisrael would have been wiped out, right then and there. And it's only because Avraham Avinu was mispalel at that moment, in that place, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and he was able to reduce the losses of the entire Klal Yisrael to the loss of 36 people or to one person, Osniel ben Kenaz. And if not for his prayers, there would have been no Klal Yisrael. And from this pasuk we learn, Le'olam yakdim adam tefila letzara. A person should pray as a preventive measure. When a person says Rifa'enu, it's not just for the people that are sick that they should be healed. A person should not get sick. Baruch Aleinu, it's not that a person should pray for Parnasa. It means if you have a Parnasa, you should pray that you shouldn't lose your job. Your source of income should not dry up. A person has Atochonin La'odam Das, It's not that a person should pray, oh Hashem, please open up my mind that I should be able to understand things that otherwise I would not be able. The person, Baruch Hashem, is able to think and talk and behave in a normal way. Pray, you shouldn't lose it. Person should pray, La'olam yakdim adam tzila litzara. And that is what we learn from Avraham Avinu. In no way does that Gemara mention, and in any way whatsoever, that Chazal, that Avraham Avinu, he praised Hashem. That he went and he said Tehillim, he said Nishmas, and he sang Hashem's praises. Doesn't say that. Because the truth, because the end was, there was a very big tzara. There was a tzara and we lost. It's just that the loss was minimized to a degree that we were able to survive. There's an inyan of acknowledging that things can turn sour in a moment's notice. In a moment's notice. You can have everything, and all of a sudden, someone made an appeal on Shabbos in the Shul where Davin. He's a very big macha, this fellow. His name is Chaim Heller. He's involved in a lot of different things. And he was telling stories about now the people that living in Ukraine. Okay, again, it's very, very extremely difficult to get your finger on exactly what's going on. But he says, you know, they're not wealthy people. They live there they live in an apartment. They have possessions. They have a life. They have a life, and now they have literally nothing. Nothing. A moment's notice, gone. They're totally lost. They fled. And their homes are going to be totally, either everything was stolen or it was literally destroyed. And they went from having a regular life like every single person in this room in a moment's notice to having nothing. So a person always has to be yakdim to tefila litzara. This idea in Pasuk Dalit is a completely, completely different idea. For some reason today this became very popular. Years ago you never heard about this. Never. Now it became this idea became very, very popular today. Whole new idea, which is very, very hard to define, and again should not be confused with the principle of Yaakov Adam Tzil Tzara, and that is a person has a Tzara. So imagine in your mind what would happen if you would be saved. Imagine a person, let's say a person is destitute, he doesn't have parnosa, they're coming after him, the bank is calling, the car lease people are calling, his creditors are calling, he has no money. He lost his job, he lost his fortune, and he's in a lot of trouble. What would happen if somehow today a solution would present itself? Someone today would offer you a very good job where you would be able to negotiate with all of your creditors and everything would work out fine. What would happen if, not talking about miracles, not talking about winning the lottery, I'm talking about the guy who sends out his resume to wherever he can find, and today he gets a telephone call. A really good opportunity comes up and he'll be able to decide. What would you do? You wake up in the morning, going out of your mind. If I would tell you later in the day, by 3 o'clock, all your problems are going to be solved. Al derech hateva. What would you do? You know what I would do? I would then take out a sitter, take out Nishmas Kol Chai, what we say on Shabbos, and read it carefully, slowly. I would say it 10 times. With the greatest kavana, thanking Hashem for what you've done for me. That's what I would do if today, at the end of the day, all of my problems would be solved. So you know what? Why wait until 3 o'clock? What are you doing now anyway? Do it right now. Take out the nishmas, go into fantasy world, make believe your problems have been solved, and recite the nishmas with the greatest kavana that you possibly can. That's what you should do. And people are doing this today. I never heard of this before. I honestly never heard of this before. But it seems like if you go and you pay attention to what's going on out there in the world, people have big problems, and there are no solutions. There are no solutions to these problems. And people are very, very desperate. And people are doing this. They're taking out a Tehillim, they're taking out Nishmas. Even Nishmas can be very popular. People are writing Perushim on Nishmas. They're selling books. Someone's making money. Don't let someone else's sorrow go. You know, it's a good opportunity to make money. Other people's problems. Write a nice Perush on Nishmas. And someone will buy and they'll say with a lot of kavana. People are doing this today. Does it work? I don't know. I, that's none of my business. But where does this come from now? Again, I don't think the people in this room ever heard of this before. This is not what we are used to. It's not what we're used to. It's not the way, I don't know, not the way my parents live their life. I didn't see it by them. But this is the new fact. This is the new fact. It's the reality. Where does it come from? Well, you can't go mock it. You can't go say, you know, you can't be, don't be like me, who's always very pessimistic and nasty. It's really, it says this explicitly in this pasuk. Exactly what it says in this pasuk. Lihulol ekra Hashem. It doesn't say here that he's mispala, a tefila kaidem letzara. That's a different vart. That's a different yisod. Here it says he sings out to Hashem with praise. I praise you, Hashem, ekra Hashem. Umin oivai vashea. Again, look at the mitzvah started. Kishani koirei la Hashem behalel, oz ani noisha me oivai. Look at Rashi. Rashi is much better. Rashi is much more explicit. Milolek Rashem, behilulim ekra veespalel lefonav tamid. With hilulim, I call out and I pray and I call out with hilul, with praise. Voespalel lefonav tamid. Now, okay. Rashi dampens it a little bit with the word vo'espalel, I pray, but he does begin with hilulim, kiloimar, af lifnei hateshuah, before the salvation, ani mehalilon, I'm already praising Hashem as if the salvation has arrived, lifi, because by doing so, by singing to Hashem shira before there's any solution on the horizon, by thanking you, making believe the salvation already has come in advance, I'm lending you Hashem. It's like a loan. I'm lending you. I'm singing your praise in advance, and that somehow it brings the salvation.
But it seems, I mean, maybe it's directly showing this, that it's that there is already a oivai, there is already a problem. He's not singing the praise.
Oh, okay. So right, exactly. You're right. So that's that.
I don't
right.
even see a problem yet.
Right. That's what. Okay. Fine. You hit. So you really. You know. You are defining with more precision the difference between this principle and the principle of la'olam yachdim adam tefila litzara. That principle, there is no tzara. Baruch Hashem, everything in a person, Baruch Hashem is healthy, he has parnasa, he has chokhmah, everything is fine. A person should be mispala, that he should not come, don't take anything for granted. So there's a love is the yakdim, a tefillah litzara. Here the tzara is present. The tzara is here in front of us. We got a problem, and we need a solution. And the solutions are far, you know, hard to find. Here it's a new principle that the way, of course, you pray for a solution, that goes without saying. That's the traditional way to do things, to pray for the salvation. But in addition, a person already sings praise to Hashem as if it already happened. The salvation already happened. That's very hard. It's a very, very hard thing to do. And that's takes a lot of courage. And it's also, you know, everything in Kali Yisrael is in the soul. Just because you'll find the Pasuk, you'll find the Malbim, you'll find the Me'iri, you'll find, you know, some esoteric and Mefarish, it doesn't mean that's the way we live our life. You go look at the Mesorah. What would Rabbi Zisalz have said about this? Did you ever see Rabbi Zisalz saying Nishmas in advance? Do you imagine him doing so?
Every Shabbat.
What? No, so Rabbi Baruch says no. He didn't. We don't know what he did, but you don't get that impression. That's how he lived his life, right? He didn't live when a person has a problem. You say, oh, you say nishmas kol chai ein anu maspikim lohoidis lucha al achas elif alfe alafim ribi rivavos palma atoyva shasis malusin v'imanu. This is a very beautiful verse, and it's definitely true. No one's coming to deny. But just because you have concepts that are very beautiful and very, very lofty, look at the Messiah. Look at your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. Did they do this? When they had big issues in life, did they, in Auschwitz, do we find people saying Nishmas? They said Ani Mamin.
It became very popular because of Rebbe Sakhanievsky.
Rebbe Sakhanievsky?
She
made it, which was the Rebbe Hasheva? The one now?
Yeah.
Okay. 100%.
It became more popular.
And it doesn't happen, and you still have the Sarah. I think that's much worse. Your person would feel much worse that if you dive into something, you didn't succeed. You dive into something, which we usually do, and you don't succeed. So you say, all right, you weren't worthy. But now here, I praise you, Hashem.
I know.
You didn't come through.
I know. It's listen, to me, I see this now to be a big thing. How do I go into Eichers? On the table, there's a book, more than one, Nishmas. And then the Hagdama, a whole parish on Nishmas, and it's selling like hotcakes. Why? Don't you know the skula that if you say Nishmas in advance, you have a problem, you say Nishmas, your problems, they go away. I never saw this by people that, you know, growing up, by very choshev people who had big problems. Major, major problem. I never saw
what were you thinking about Nishmas when you said it every week on Shabbos?
I don't know. My mind's elsewhere. I'm thinking about the lady. That's what I'm thinking about.
People are thinking, when is Shochenad coming?
When is Shabbos? What's the Kiddush? Right? What's the Kiddush? What's the Kiddush?
But there were those who always thought
Nishmas. Right. I remember I once thought about Rabbi Shur. Rabbi Shur, Avraham Shur, he says it with a hislavos, so you can hear it in the whole shul. 100%.
And not because it's one of the books, and not because...
No, it's because he does it every week, because he's been doing this. That's what he does. That's the way he lives his life.
Rabbi Katz, by the way, he said he was on his honeymoon, and he did something, when in 1974, 75, he went to Russia with his new wife, and he went to, at that time, it was very, there were no shuls, but they had a couple of secret shuls, and they gave him an address to go to, basically, but he couldn't find it. Shabbos morning, he was walking, and he was getting nervous because people follow you, and he thought he'd be in big trouble because he was looking for a shul that wasn't advertised. He had a mission here to take care of stuff, and he said, he started to say, that's what he said. I must have, until I found a place where I was afraid to ask somebody, you know, he didn't know who to ask. He said it, he says he thinks he probably said 100 times over until he found a place, because he was really shaking in his boots that somebody was going to come after him already, because this was, he was doing things illegal at that time.
Who's
this? He had to talk to people, Dovid Katz, you know, Rabbi Katz. So he said he's a historian. He has a study. He lectures and stuff.
I heard that you received a site by a Hesper about somebody.
Yeah.
Came into the Hesper. Also, I read about the question. They're saying this was a question. Was you stand by Nishmas, the Shabbos. So they both said, how can you not stand for Nishmas?
How can you not stand for Nishmas? How could you not, like I said, by eating on Tisha B'Av and eating on Yom Kippurim. On Tisha B'Av, how could you eat on Tisha B'Av? On Yom Kippur, why would you need to eat? On Yom Kippur, you're a malach. On Yom Kippur, who needs to eat? On Tisha B'Av, how could you eat? Churban, tzaras, it's a different attitude. In any event, but this is what it says in Rashi, and therefore, obviously, what it says in Rashi is Kodesh Kodashim. This is really where, this obviously is where it comes from, this principle. But just because it says this principle, you know, doesn't mean this is the way we live. This is what a person should do. It's very common. A lot of things you can find the makar for every mishigas in the world. You can find the makar for. Just because Rashi says it, you're right. Rashi says it. But is this a derech dealing with problems? This is a problem. People have major, major issues. Everyone has their peckle. And the traditional way to deal with the problem is yidavin. Yidavin, and you are makabel. What will be, you accept, and you are makabel, and yidavin. And then when the salvation comes, the mirtz Hashem, then you sing Shevach to Hashem. To go say Shevach and Hashem advance, yeah. I'm not coming to deny, I want to be not be curious. It says this in Rashi, David did this. But you have to know the right time, the right place, the right way to do it. We've never seen this done. Today it became a thing. It became, you know, the thing.
Yeah, by the way, if you see it down, we all do it every morning. When we stand by Hashem, and we say Melech Meshubam for Hashem, Melech Mehulam Betishbach.
Okay.
We say all the hallelujahs, and when we come to the tefillah, it's later on. But first we say.
All right, but that's part of the Pesukim de Zimra. Okay, but that's not specific. That's not a specific, you're focusing on a specific problem. Here we're talking about people going out of the way daven, or they don't daven, whatever they do. Okay, you can go, you come to shul, you skip the whole Pesukim de Zimra. Oh, and now, you come now, you take out the Nishmas book, the Nishmas book, and you say Nishmas. Did you say Nishmas on Shabbos? Did you say Psuki the Zimmer today? Did you say the Hallelujahs? Did you say Asher with Kavana? I mean, what's going on over here? What's this all about over here?
I understand what you're saying, that we don't do this. But this is something we should strive for. This is something we should do
yes.
to that level.
We should strive for it within the framework of what we are already doing. Wow. That's the point. You're right. You should strive for this within the framework of what you already are doing. So, like the Hallelujahs, Psuki de Zimra, Shabbos Nishmas Kol Chai, once a week is enough. Okay? Strive within the natural framework of what Chazal already gave us.
I agree.
To make
Don't
a
just
new
start
thing.
Taking on these Kabbalahs because a book came out. No. But what Rashi's saying, to get to that level.
Okay, I'm not denying that. This is a very lofty thing. Do you remember your parents or grandparents when they had issues in life? They went looking for a parish on Nishmas. You remember such a thing?
They said Tehillim
exactly.
So that's what this is.
No, Nishmas is not Tehillim.
Nishmas in here.
Praise.
The word Nishmas.
The Nishmas is praise. It means over here, words of pure praise. Most of Tehillim. Is supplication. It's not praise. You're right, we say the Hallelujahs. The Hallelujahs are praise during Pesukim de Zimra. He says over here, look, he says, Kolomer, Af lefnei ha'atashu ani mahaloloi. I praise Hashem. This is what you do. This is what you do when you win. After you win, then you say Hallel. Before you win, you mispala that you should win. It's a whole different vocabulary. Now, on the other hand, look at the Minchas Erev, He seems to twist it differently. Minchas Erev, Pasuk Dalad and Vav, on page 141, Koidem Boy Hatzara. He's taking Kmoi Shamuzal Le'olam Yachtin Adam Tefila Litzara. That's not what Rashi said. He's taking this Pasuk and he's using this Pasuk as a makar for what Avraham Avinu did when he came to Ai. Even Sham is Shem Hashem. The Minchas Erev is not like Rashi. The Minchas Erev is saying Madurosh. He's reading into the pasuk something that is a little bit of a mechulol is not tefillah. He's really really pushing it. He's really translating the words in a very liberal way.
He gets into this because of his meshuchim, because of Ayes, which he didn't say. He didn't say his meshuchim.
Well, that's another reason. That's
right. Yeah, yeah. So he said, I'll tell you. He says that, like Birchas Hanen, you don't make a bracha after you eat the apple, you make a bracha before, right? Baruch B'Yayetz, and then you take a bite. The same thing with Tefillah. Baruch Shamar, the purpose of Baruch Shamar is asking permission to say Pesukei de Zimra. Therefore, he takes issue with the Sfardim who say Hodu before Baruch Shema. He says,
all right, that's a different whole of two of them.
And so, therefore, Mizmah Shulchan HaKlisavai is also, he didn't say it because you have to say Baruch Shema first. That's like saying, this is what I want to do. I want to, I'm asking permission to say Baruch Shema HaKlisavai to HaKlis Baruch. And that's my, that's the way I look at it. Very interesting. Excuse me for 1 second. I took one of the people in my shul who's not Jewish, a lady. She gave me something to put in the kotel. She gave me like a 6-page treatise. And I couldn't put it in the kotel. I would have had to take out one of the stones from the wall. get it in there. She didn't know. It started off, and she said, I didn't know there was a place that we could talk to God personally, That's the way she looked at the kotel, the way they told her. I mean, she's very religious. And the truth is, so I read the letter. It was 6 pages. She and one of her friends, who was beautifully written. She's obviously educated.
Did you answer her?
No, but I made a little tzedek like the people do, and my wife said she'll drop it off in a shul someplace. But it's a lesson. What she wrote is the way we should all feel about it. She wrote various small problems in terms of what she wrote. Her emuna in God is like, 100%. And I asked, someone in the family was an alcoholic, or this was, to make him see the light, to express his love for God, and he'll see the light. And if you don't answer anything that I say, I don't love you any less. I accept you for what is, no matter what happens, I'm still on board with you, God. Basically, I'm being makatsir, but it was 6 thick pages of station.
Interesting. Wow.
It was like I wanted to cry wow. When I read it. I was thinking, halavai, we should all feel that.
That's right.
Isn't it the human condition to intensely pray when you have a problem? And if you don't have a problem, you don't pray.
Yes.
Long.
Yes. So it takes a lot of discipline for a person to pray in advance. Look, you go to Shachas, you might as well. You go to Shachas every single day. 3 times a day you daven. You say the same Shimon Esrei.
If you have Torah, then you're going to daven a little more intensely.
That's right. That's exactly. But there's an incredible advantage if a person can discipline himself to pray in advance. Because preventive medicine is infinitely more powerful than dealing with the problem after it comes. Okay, so over here the Minchas Erev clearly disagrees with Rashi. To me, it's two completely different principles. There's a principle of le'olam yakdim tzfila litzara, and then there's another principle, as Rav Dov mentioned, that first comes that first the person has the tzara, and then the tzara, there are different ways, different techniques. Of course, you have to daven, and then there's another technique. Is in addition to davening, a person imagines as if the tzara already is over, and he already sings the shira in advance, and that accelerates the salvation. That has nothing to do with le'olam yakdim adam tefillah litzara. Zero. No, he puts the two together. What?
I'm believing that the outcome is good, even though you might.
Okay, of course. Right. But a person to say the shira.
The answer will come.
So the Minchas Erev is a pella, is a wonder that he should mingle these two things. It's like he cannot even imagine this type of segula, it seems, and he interprets it to mean there's no such thing. But these are completely two different concepts. There's the classic approach, which is the verb shudamad oida tefila koidem litzara, and then there is another principle of saying Hallel in advance. Okay, now there's over here, there's in Minchas Erev, in the bottom portion, I marked it off my notes. This is a very interesting medrash. Okay, it has to do with, I think, with the Dalam
Al. I think both of them are right. Both of them are right.
They're different, of course. They're different principles.
David HaMelech said, Mehulal Ekra Hashem. Mehulal is the Hallel.
Okay.
And then Ekra,
the Tefillah.
So that's why he said it.
Okay.
Rashi said, Rashi means the same thing. I think so.
The end of Rashi really, he really shows what his true colors. End of Rashi. Kloimar, af lifnei hateshua, before the salvation, ani mahaleloi, I praise Hashem, lifi shabatuach ani shemei oivai ivoshea. That sounds like you're saying nishmas, to deal with the problem, okay?
Yeah.
At the beginning of Rashi, you can say, he says tefillah, at the beginning of Rashi, he says, no, pray to Hashem. And today, I mean, I read what it says in the Yisek from Reverend Kanievsky. Okay, I mean, this is something which is out there. People are doing this. Obviously, there are roots. There definitely, it is, you see it right here. The Minchas Erev doesn't say that. He says this is dealing with the classic yesoid that we have of le'oilam yakdim adam tefila litzara. Rashi in Chumash When Avraham Avinu came to Ai, he saw what's going to happen. He was mispalel before there was a Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go now. Let's try to run through this. I found this to be very, very fascinating, this medrash. With the Shoichar, I want to go read the second paragraph on page 141. It's a very interesting medrash to see what he says over here about maybe we should do more psukim and we'll come back to this. You know, let's do more psukim. Let's go to page 142 and we'll come back to this. 142, I am surrounded by the chevle mavis, the pangs of death. The chevle, you have chevle leda, birth pangs. There's some type of, it's, now this is a very interesting term in itself. It seems that the same way when a woman is pregnant, this, you have to go talk. I actually saw this once by a person. I actually was pressed by Yitzias Neshama of someone. And when I reflect, obviously, Yitzias Neshama by everyone is different. I mean, I'm sure there's the old, I'm talking about a natural death. And I actually saw, it was almost like the person was giving birth. There was a certain, it weren't hooked up to all that many machines. There was no, I don't think there was any, it was like more of a natural death. And it's almost exactly what it says here. It was like labor pains. Not that I've ever been in watched a woman give birth, but I imagine that when a woman gives birth, there are the muscles, there are towards the end, they contract, expand until the baby is pushed out. And the contractions, I'm assuming they get shorter and shorter and shorter. There's a process of the muscles functioning in a certain rhythm until the baby is pushed out. Yitzias neshama is the same thing, and not everyone. And maybe what I'm saying is not true, but I actually saw this. I was present by a person. You know, it was a long goodbye, and we went there once in a while. Happened to be there. Mazel, we came there at the time when he passed away, and it's like his breathing was labor. You'd mamish say it's a heavy labor. Today it's probably very rare due to modern medicine, where people are machines and they're drugged up, and you know it's very, very different today, obviously, because of technology. But a natural death, it's not a coincidence that it says the word chevle mavis, just like it says chevle leda. And I saw this in my own eyes. There's a certain breathing as it's almost as if the neshama. The guf is pushing out the neshama. Or maybe you'll say the neshama is pushing out the guf. How do you want to look at it? Okay, how do you want to look at it? And just like when a woman gives birth, it's a climax. The woman goes into labor, and there are contractions. I'm not familiar with all the details, but there are contractions. And the body goes into work, into a rhythm, into a process, a scientific process, where it functions in a healthy way, and when the body is functioning healthily, to proceed in rhythm to push the baby out, because the time has come. The body and the neshama, at the end, there's a rhythm where there are spiritual contractions which manifest themselves in physical contractions, where the breathing takes on a certain rhythm of the heart rate, the heartbeat, where you get this sense. It's just like a baby is coming out of a person.
That's not the situation. Some people are fighting to live, and some people...
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's obvious what you're talking about. It's obviously you can't generalize. You know, you can't generalize. People who have Rahman Lislam disease, and medication obviously plays a major role today, because today they give an enormous amount of Baruch Hashem. They give, you know, pain medication, which obviously changes the heart rate and all these things. Everything today in modern medicine is very different. But you cannot ignore this expression. Chevle leda and chevle mavis. And just like chevle leda is not a very pleasant thing, okay, women will always tell you a man shouldn't talk because a man doesn't know what it's like. There's no greater tsar in the world than chevle leda. So you can't... Kidney stones. Rachman Litzlan. Afafuni chevle mavis. Afafuni chevle mavis. V'nachale, now what does it mean? V'nachale means pain. Nachale is not the same word as chel. It's an entirely different world, different word. Nachale, if you look at the Mitzudos Tzion, how does he touch the word nachale? B'loshon choili, sickness. Vilial. The vilial means, this is a very popular word. Vilial is a disgusting person. We haven't had this word in a very long time. Way, I don't think we had it in Treyasa. We don't have this word. We had this in Yeshaya way back. Vilial means bali oil. It is such a great word. It is such a defining word, the word bali oil. You have no achrayis to anyone. The average person has an oil. You have responsibility to your spouse, responsibility to your children, an oil to society, an oil to your friends, and of course, to Hashem. Every person, what? Shakespeare? What does Shakespeare say? I can't hear. Belial?
Synonym for Satan.
For what?
Satan.
All right, but a person, every single person in this world, the human condition is such that a person has an oil, has a yoke. And the Iker oil is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Kabbalas, oil, Malchus Shemayim. And every oil in this world is a dogma in order to appreciate what it means, Kabbalas, O Malchus Shemayim. When a person deals with other people, whether it's his spouse, his children, his parents, society, his friends, you have an oil, you have responsibilities. Bili oil. A person that has no oil, a person that has all the money in the world, he has no responsibilities, and then when it comes to Hashem, he says the craziest things. This is in English, Bilial means a detestable the person. The ultimate form of being detestable is Bili oil. And David HaMelech says, V'nachle Bilial. The Nachle means the illness of these people. These people are intolerable. The people who live in a world with Bili oil, there's nothing stopping them. Absolutely nothing is in their way. Yivah Asuni terrifies me. Yivasuni, these people who have no, they are sick. They're sick in thinking that they're totally in control of their destiny. These are the most dangerous people in the world.
The translation of all is mistranslated by many people as a yoke, meaning that it's a burden. A yoke is something that guides the animal.
So
it's something that takes him where he's supposed to go. Yes, it bothers the animal that is there, but an oil is a yoke that guides you where you go.
Okay, so this is very interesting. Now, in Masechta Kehillim, and now we can't do this now because I have to show you the picture. In Masechta Kehillim, there is the whole Masechta is about different types of utensils, and if they have a Kabbal Tumah, not a Kabbal Tumah, what are their status? There's a Mishnah many Mishnayis that describe all of the components of the oil of an ox.
Right.
You put it on the ox, what's called the yoke, and you attach it. This is the device that is attached to an ox and it pulls a plow. There are many, many components. And the Mishnayis there discuss all the different parts. There are many, many parts. I don't remember. It's been a while since I learned this. Many, many parts. And there, one of the parts is called the oil, the actual oil. There are boards, a board that goes on top, a board that goes on the bottom. There's a board that goes along the length of the animal. There are screws. There are all different parts. And then there's a component called the oil. There's a machloikis rishonim. Which screw, which element, which prop of this contraption, there's a contraption that has make-believe 10 parts. Exactly which part of this contraption is called the oil? The Rav says this is the oil. The Tais Yom says you're wrong. This is the oil. The Rambam may say that this there's a big machlokes. Which detail of this contraption is the oil? How many parts are there in an average car? Thousands. That's why you have the bottleneck now. Your car costs crazy. because if one little screw has to come from Malaysia and they have a lockdown there, you're not getting that little screw for your car. You need every single little screw that needs to come together. An oil has many, many parts. Which part is called the oil? There's a big machlokes rishonim, which screw is called the oil. L'may nafkamina, an enormous nafkamina. When you daven shemone say shema, kabbalas oil malchus shemayim. What does that mean? Well, first you have to know what is the precise definition of the oil, of which screw of that mechanism. What function does it serve? When you know exactly the function that it serves, then when you say Shema Yisrael, you have a much greater clarity in exactly what you're trying to accomplish when you say Kriya Shema. But if you don't know what exactly what it all means, then you're not going to be able to say Kriya Shema with the proper Kavana. Okay, so that's a very big complicated thing. But over here, whatever that is, Beli Oil, maybe we should go, because of this word Beli, we should go, I should maybe make copies of that Mishnah and show you the Machlokes Rishonim. Maybe that would be a great idea. We'll see if we can do that. Beli Al Yivasuni. This is an incredible expression. Vanachli V'liyal. There are people out there that are in the category of Beli Oil. These people are sick. They're choylin. They're choylin. They're sick people. They're sick in their neshama. And this illness is dangerous. It's contagious. They are unpredictable. And if they have power, they can destroy the world. David says, Yiva'asuni, these people terrify me. They're the worst. They're the worst of the worst.
So yoke could be a restriction.
Something yes. Yes.
They have no restriction.
They have no restriction. Why don't they have any restriction? Why not? They have no conscience. Why not? Why don't they have a conscience? Why? They have a different set of values. What exactly does the oil mean? Whatever it means. But there are people out there in the world who are in a category called Beli Oil. This reality, this reality is a sickness. It's a terrible disease. And it's contagious. And it's horrible. And people that have this disease, if they are in a position of power, of influence, they can literally destroy the world.
Do you see me?
I don't want to get into politics.
Politics
is a matter of taste, of opinion. Everyone has their own take on everything. But whoever they may be, whatever, people that are in this category throughout world history, okay? Let's put aside the 21st century, because that's, you know, you get into trouble. We'll say, go back and study world history. Go back 1,000 years ago, look at certain people who are Beli Oil. These people, we can look back in hindsight and say they were sick. They were choylin. A disease, a terrible disease. A disease of the mind. A disease of the neshama.
You're talking about Putin?
No, I'm not. I didn't say that. I don't want to get involved in this. Every time I open up my mouth, I get shot.
2,000 years old?
I don't want to talk about politics. Every time I talk about politics, I get. I don't want to get. Let's not. Let's share in learning. Let's not extrapolate. I do enough. I get enough trouble. But there are people in the category Beli Oil, and it's a choyle hanefesh. And these people, David says, Yiva'asuni, they terrify me. I'm terrified from them. What Rachmana Litzlan they can do to this world. Let's see the Rashi. Let's see the Mitzudos. Pasuk Hei in the Mitzudos David. Afafuni kasher savavu oisi ke'evei moves. They surround me like pains of death. V'chasher hecheloim haboim me'anshei sickness. It's a contagious disease that comes. Me'anshei v'lial. Biasu v'cherdu oisi. They terrify me. This sickness that emanates, that spreads from these individuals who are in the category Beli Oil, they terrify me. Chevle, okay, that's written in English. Let's see over here, Rashi, Pasukei, Avafuni Chalimavis, Paman Rabbis, many times. Sivavuni Rishoin, Afafuni Kimos Sivavuni, surround me, Soyvev, Vechein Afafu Olai Rois, evil tidings have surrounded me. Chevle Mavis. Now here we have a new interpretation. I told you a drush, this idea that there's something called Chevle Leida and this Chevle Mavis. there's a certain rhythm when it comes to the end. Rashi does not say that. Rashi says, Chelim Mashiach, birth pangs. We like to tie it as birth pangs. It's not really birth pangs. It is a rhythm of activity, a systematic climax of activity that occurs at the end of a process. What is the process? Well, it depends. If the process is leida, it's chevle leida. If the process is moves, it's chevle moves. If it's the coming of Mashiach, it's chevle Mashiach. Chevle does not mean birth pangs. Chevle means when you come to the end of something, there is a system. There is a technique. When you're on an airplane and it's time to land the plane, now it's time you've reached your destination, there is a process. The process is the plane, it drops in altitude. The flaps are extended. The landing gear is released, is lowered. Everyone fasten your seatbelts. There is a protocol. When you get to the end, you're flying, you're cruising 40,000 miles in the sky for 10 hours, and now we're about to reach our destination. So everything was fine, and cruising along, boring as can possibly be, going out of your mind. And now within a short period of time, there's enormous activity taking place. All of a sudden, the plane goes all the way down. There is, flaps are coming out. Speed is reduced. Okay, activity, there's activity. Landing gear, you glide down, you land. That last process is called the chevle. And every single thing you do in life, you shut down the computer, right? You turn it off, you shut down the computer, so now it gives you all these warnings, close this, there is a process that occurs at the end of an event. That is chevle. When a woman is giving birth, there's chevle later. Mashiach is coming, chevle Mashiach. Person is dying, their body is shutting down, there's chevle mothers. That's chevle. Rashi says, says something very different. Rashi says, Chevle Moves Machanois Oivim, Kamei Chevle Livim, a band. Rashi learns an entirely different interpretation. It means like a rope. What is a rope? A Chevle. A Chevle is braids. You take many, many strands of material, of strings, and you braid them together to produce a rope. A rope. There's a thick rope, a thin rope. There's a rope you use to tie down a ship, to anchor a ship. Rashi learns not like what we've been talking about. It's not a system. Rather, it is a rope. And what is the rope? And we hear, what is the rope? A band. You have multiple armies, many armies coming together. Each army is like a strand. And they all coordinate. War games. Like you always hear in the news that there are maneuvers. Practice maneuvers where nations, they come together. This one brings their air force. This one brings their tanks, this one brings this, and they practice. They practice, they have maneuvers where they're joint maneuvers between multiple countries. Each one has a machane, each one has their strengths, their weaknesses, they coordinate to achieve. One has incredible intelligence, one has the best drones. Turkey, they have the best drones. You know that? You see that they look in the news that they're using in Ukraine. The drones from Turkey.
Israel shot down to
Iranian drones. Iranian drones are not so good. The Turkish drones. You never heard that the Israelis shot down a Turkish drone. You never heard that in the news. You hear in the news every day they shot down an Iranian or a Syrian drone. I've never yet heard in the news. You listen carefully to the news. When they say they shot down a drone, listen, what kind of drone did they shoot down? A Turkish drone? You never heard that yet. I heard in Ukraine, they're using Turkish drones. Ooh, scary. Who's using them? I don't even know who's using them. I can't figure out what's going on. But everyone has a koyach. And when the koyach is a chevel, you take everyone together, and that's how Rashi learns. Chevel imamis, machanois oivim, kumoi chevel nivim, a band of prophets. There's different prophets, interesting concept. Each prophet has their specialty. Some prophets, you know, they're good for Musar. Some are good for Chizuk. Yeshaya gave Nechama. The whole Sefer Yeshaya was Nechama. Yeshaya's specialty was to look into the future and he gave comfort. Yirmiyah, he looked into the future and he said, you're all going to die. It's doomsday. Everyone has a different approach. They have nevuah, they have the chevel nevi'im. They all come together to achieve a result. The same as Shmuel, the yonasim here again, ki ita, the yasva al masbira, like a woman, it's itisa. Itisa is a woman. Itisa in the Gemara, everyone knows that. Itisa is a woman who is sitting on masbira, on the birth stool. They don't have this today. If you go online, and once they do, they show these ancient birth stools. You wouldn't believe what it looks like. These primitive type of birth stools, I bet you it was a lot better that then than it is today. Today, as far as I know, women's on the regular bed, right? There's no difference. I don't know. People go, no? It's very sophisticated today? Okay, fine. I don't know. Baruch Hashem. You know, whatever it is. But fine. But in ancient times, they had a lot of chokmah. It says by Shifa Bapura, Uri Isem al Ho'ovnoyim. What does it say about Shif and Pua? When Pyro said to them, when you see these women give birth al on Ho'ov Noyim. What does that mean? The stones? What is a birthing stone? What does that mean? Obviously it's a special shape, and it was designed in a way which allowed, made it easy for the woman to give birth, helped her, assisted in her position that she sat or whatever, she lied down, assisted in her giving birth. Al of noyim. So the al masbira. Masbira is another word for a birthing stool. So lashon chevle yoleda. This is what I mentioned. This is the other interpretation. So if we have here Rashi, we have our interpretation. It's the chevle birth pangs, and here refers to what?
Labor pains.
Yes. Of course, chevle. And here it says
something very interesting here. That all three cases, Chavrei Mavet, Chavrei Reda, and Chavrei Mashiach, are situations between two
transition
before and after. So it looks like it's pulling.
Transition.
Like the life pulls it to the life, and Malach HaMavet pulls it to the left, to death. And Chavrei Reda, the same thing. The baby wants to stay inside, it was comfortable, it was very good, and now suddenly you pull him, he wants to be inside, not outside. Mashiach is the same situation. Who knows, it's very difficult to transfer from...
To check,
from
check
this,
us up.
This, to the
complacency.
So it's two errors, or two conditions.
It's a very difficult transition. We are afraid of the transition.
The pulling causes pain. The pulling from both sides. The chevlei, the rabbi. One from here, one from there.
The nachalei v'liyal. Okay, the nachalei v'liyal, afu l'shem b'yoses, shoytzim kanachal. Another fascinating interpretation. What does it mean over here? The word nachalei. Again, not like the Mitzvah of it. He learns it means armies. Nachalei means camps. Okay, nachalei is a lotion of armies that are shoytzim, that flow like a river. He learns the word nachal, not mean choyli. Nachalei can be Rashi and the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah translates word nachalei, lotion of choyli. The nun is not part of the root. The nun is a prefix. The root is ches lamed yud, choili, an illness. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the nun is part of the root, and the root is nachal, a stream, and refers to a massive army, a flood, a torrent. You have a gayosos, you have troops. There's just no end to the number of soldiers.
A convoy of
an army. After which on Gayosos, Shaitan is flowing down. Kanacha. Okay, next pasuk is above. Nacha chevle shol siluni. That's just chevle shol siluni. So we have the same thing that we had before. According to Rashi, it's going to be camps, like a rope. Chevle is a rope, which in this context means we have many different forms. In other words, it sounds, according to Rashi, chevel is a rope. Many things come together. What is this person going to die from? Well, take your pick. Kidney failure, heart failure, His brain
system shuts down.
There, if he's not going to die from this, he'll die from this. If he's not going to die from this, he'll die from the body can't deal with the morphine. You have a person, Rahman will at the end of life. What do you know for sure he's going to die within a short period of time? What will he die from? Well, I'll give you a choice. I'll give you 10 different possibilities. What is the bottom line? They're all converging at the same time. It's a chevel. It is a rope. In a rope, there are multiple strands. Each strand is trying to achieve the same result. Chevle she'ol sivavuni. According to Rashi, it learns the word chevle comes from the word a chevel, a rope. Just like above when it says avuni chevle mavis, there it meant machanois oivim, camps of enemies. Everyone is coming, they're all combining their resources together in order to destroy us. Same thing over here, the Chevle Shol Zavuni, Kidmuni, and Arati, according to Rashi, according to the Mitzudas, and according to the other interpretation of Rashi, the word Chevle means labor pains. And labor pains over here means there is a, obviously, if the system is in the process of shutting down, like Chevle Leiva. Chevle Shol Zavuni, Kidmuni, Mike Shay Mavis, Mike is a person who lays a trap. Those who are people who lay traps for my death, Kidmuni, they have come in front of me. They're trying to bring my demise. They're confronting me. Kidmuni, they want to bring my end before my time. Person has a zman when he's supposed to die, and if person and these enemies are coming to end his life prematurely. Everyone knows the story with one of these famous people when they wrote in their an obituary appeared in the newspaper, and he was still alive. And he sent him a letter to the editor of the newspaper. Reports of my demise are premature.
It's Mark Twain.
Mark Twain?
Yeah,
not yet. It'll happen eventually. What's the rush? I know of a story, someone was suicidal, and someone walked in. It was a funny person, funny guy, walks in with a big smile and says, "I hear you want to go?" He goes, "What's the rush? Eventually we'll go. What's the rush?" And he totally defused the whole situation when he just like smiled and laughed and he says, "What's the rush? You'll go, don't worry, guarantee you, you'll eventually go." Why today? Why today? You go tomorrow, go in a couple of weeks. What's the emergency to go, to leave so quickly? So over here, Kidmuni is these evil people are trying to bring about a premature departure from this world. Let's see Rashi Pasikov in the Mitzudas David. Rashi says, Chevle, the Chasher, Ke'eve, Sha'ol, Savuni, the pains of death, the grave, surround me, Kidmuni, Osi, Mokshim, Amivim, Amisa, they surround me with traps. Okay, Rashi Pasikov says, Chevle, Sha'ol, Kimoy, Chevle, Moves, it's a poetic repetition we had above, Mishirias, Rasha, in the camp. This is what it said. Rashi, what we said before, means it means like machanos, camps, battalions, groups of people that are evil. La'ani mehoyisi oisa. Why do I deserve this? What did I do for them to destroy me? Look at the Sif says the kingdom. La'ani mehoyisi oisa v'tzar li ekro tamed. We said the Lord. Mamishum b'sevuni kibuni huloshem avar in the past tense. Ekro huloshem asin. The Zen Sakin Rash Shiloshim Loshma Hoyve Tamid. Alright, let's see. That is going to be some grammar here. We'll leave it for right now. Let's do another Pasik. Pasik Zayin Batsaliyek Hashem Vielokai Ashaveya and my Tsar. I call out to Hashem. So here is the real deal. This is the normal thing a person does. When a person is in the matzav of pain, he calls out to Hashem the Elokai Ashaveya. Ashaveya is another word for prayer. To my God I call out. Yishma, he listens, he will listen. Mehei choloi from his sanctuary, calling my voice. Veshavosi lefanav tavoi, my salvation will go forth from before him. Beoznov, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Veshavosi, my prayer, lefanav tavoi veoznov. We have over here in this passage how many words of prayer? We have over here the word tsar. Vatsar li ekro. That's number one. Number two, ashaveya. I call out, and then we have the word shav osi. Shav osi is the same word as as Ashadeya.
Like in Mitzrayim.
Zakosam Shamati. Okay, so there are three expressions in this pasuk describing David calling out to Hashem. The first expression is Batsar Li. He describes himself, the source. It's coming from me, I call out. The El Elokai, where do I direct it? I put a stamp. I give it to the post office. The El Elokai, I send it off to God, to my God, Ashaveya. Yishma Mehecholo, there are only four parts. I should only say, Yishma, he hears Mehecholo Koli. He hears it, which basically means that my envelope arrives in Hashem's home. And then Hashem opens up the envelope and the prayer comes out and goes into his ears. V'shavasi lifonav tovoi v'oznav. Four parts. There are four parts in this prayer describing the four parts of prayer. First, the person has to produce a prayer. The prayer has to come forth from within. Then you take that prayer that you produce, you put it in an envelope. You put on it a stamp. And then you give it to the post office. That's part number two. And they send it. Part number three, the envelope arrives. The mailman comes, he puts it in the slot. Part number four, Hashem opens the envelope and the sound, the prayer, breaks, goes forth and it goes into Hashem's ears. One more time. Batsar li ekra Hashem. In my tsar, I call out. Number two, where does it go? The El Elokai Ashaveya. I send it out. And my address, the address is God. You know how much mail comes to the post office? Directed? God. There's a lot of mail that goes to Santa Claus, and there's a lot of mail that goes, they give all the mail that goes to Santa Claus, they send it to certain people. And they know, you know how much mail that comes in? It's addressed to Santa Claus.
Does they have to sign for it?
And the poll, I saw it on television somewhere, and they have a whole department in the U.S., you know why they broke the U.S. post office, they're in deficit. Because they have a whole department in the U.S. Post Office that deals with mail that is sent to Santa Claus and mail that is sent to God. And there are people who actually read these letters and they respond. The government pays money for this. They respond.
What? They believe in Santa Claus.
Places. Okay, it's part of your tax money. Part of your tax money goes to deal with these people who send these letters. Then Hashem hears this. Hechol hears it. In other words, it arrives. And then after it arrives, it goes into his ears. Now it's very, look to the Rashi, and finish up over here, and grab plus it's Zayin, but Tzayli, V'eshahoy, Tzayli, V'achas, Medar.
There is a mafsik there.
Okay, we have to see why there's a mafsik. Okay, very good, let's see. Let's see Rambam Mitzudas. The Mitzudas says, "Batzar li be'eshah yitzar li ba'achas me'advar mo'ila oz karasi la'Hashem." When I have tzar, one of these matters, oz karasi la'Hashem, I call out to Hashem v'shema kli hears my voice. Next page, v'shalosi l'chinav amashat sarkasi l'chinav bo'bi oznot v'chafal hadav v'bi'il l'shemetz k'derech melitzas hashir. Poetic repetition. Rashi pasuk zayin batzal yegra ani vayisi korei laHashem tamid continuously. Okay, that's it. Okay, we have to go see some mufashim of Yibo. We're out of time, so we'll stop before we start. I want to just make a couple of clarify one thing very important. It says here Michael on the screen. Is that Rabbi Dr. Colonel Cohn? Harav Dr. Colonel Cohn, is that you? Just give him a moment to take off the mute. I believe that when it says here on the screen, Michael is referring to, because I want to wish him a mazel tov from the shir. We have to see if that's it, but later, Dr. Colonel Cohen gets a very, very big mazel tov. His son is a chassan.
Ah!
We want to wish you safra tovra. We want to wish you a hearty mazel tov on the engagement of your son. Mazel tov. You should continue to see from all of your children nachas and bracha, and we are mishpatei from the sin. Mazel tov.
Amen.
Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk about Parsha Zohar, Rav Cohen's favorite topic, Zecher and Zecher.
Zecher is
more. All the Kisvei Adin say one thing. Zecher. Okay. We'll talk about it.
It has a drop under it.
Excellent.
Yes.